I woke up, two or three times during the night. Somebody punching me. Need this, need that. And sometimes when you get woke up in the middle of the night, it's hard to go back to sleep. And I began to think about Sunday night service and what we was going to do tonight. And just began to meditate upon some verses of Scripture that have to do with what we've been dealing with. And as I lay there, I began to put some things in my mind. I almost got up and wrote them down because I usually forget them if I don't. But every time I woke up, I was still thinking the same thing. And so I thought, I will remember. And so throughout this day, I've jotted some of these things down, added some things to it. And if you would, take your Bibles, John 4:35. Very familiar verse of Scripture. And let me say to Ronnie and the family, we are glad that you're here. More than glad you're here, we're glad you're a part of us. And from the time that Brother Ronnie surrendered to be a missionary, he set his face toward that destination. He remembers the date. I don't.
It came
September 24th, 1989, September 24. He was sitting back here on this side and came down right here. And I came up and talked to him. I said, what you need? He said, the Lord's called me to be a missionary. I thought, okay. And I didn't think too much about it. And I said, we'll talk about it and just see what all takes place and how it works out. And from that moment on to this day, Ronnie has made it happen with the help of the Lord, of course. But I mean, he set his face toward that, and that's 1989. 8 years later, 9 years later, he gets to Wales. 15 years later, he's back here telling us what takes place over there. And that's the faithfulness of the Lord to us, and the faithfulness that we can have to Him, and see results and see the Lord do something. As I've said so many times, if God calls an individual to a place, I believe with all my heart, there's somebody there that needs to hear the gospel. There's somebody there that needs the Lord, and not only, of course, all of them need it. Everybody needs the Lord. But God knows there's someone there that will hear, and they'll get saved. And so He doesn't send us there just on a whim. The Lord sends His people to places where God can speak to their hearts and people get saved. Churches started, and we see the end result of that. The Bible says here in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest?" That's a question mark. Sometimes we read it as a statement. But that's a question that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave. He says, "Say ye not?" And He says here, "Do you have 4 months and then cometh harvest? Do you not say that?" Is what He's speaking here. He said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already." And that word "already" is very important. White already to harvest, and they're already there, and it's ready to bring in. And so I began to think on that verse, and I thought of a question, and that's what I entitled tonight. Really, I guess tonight could develop into a message, but really it's just an outline. What do we see? The fields are white unto harvest. What do we see? And I began to think about all the things that the Scripture tells us about the Lord and His compassion when He saw people. Well, I'm so glad the Lord had compassion on me. I'm glad the Lord looked down one day and had a compassionate heart toward this boy as a young boy, and gave me an ability to hear the gospel and put me in a good home, put me in a good church, and was able to hear the message of salvation. And I'm glad He had that compassion on my heart. And He gave it toward me and had compassion toward me. And there's five times in the Gospel that the Bible tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. So I looked up this afternoon while I was laying in bed this morning. I just thought of the word compassion. And so today I looked up the word compassion, found out in the Gospels. By the way, I believe that's the only place you find the word compassion is in the Gospel. Isn't that interesting? The Gospel gives the compassion of the Lord to us. And there's five different times that the Scripture tells us that the Lord had compassion on people. And I looked up these, and I'm just going to read the verses and show you the crowds and show you the people of whom the Lord had compassion upon. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. So He had been going across the cities and the villages, and He had been teaching in the synagogues and been preaching concerning the kingdom of God. And the Bible says here He was healing every sickness and every disease. When people would come to Him, He would heal them. And so I put out beside these verses the healed crowd He had compassion upon. He had compassion upon those whom He had already touched, all those He'd already had dealings with them. And He had maybe touched them, maybe He'd spoken to them, or maybe He just said, you're healed. And all the diseases and the problems that were in those villages and those cities, and as He taught in the synagogues, those people began to follow after Him. And when He looked upon that healed crowd, He had compassion on them. Now, there's another place in the Scripture that talks about His compassion, and that's in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. I wanted to read these verses, and there's a companion Scripture to this found in Mark chapter 6. This is the feeding the 5,000. They had five loaves, two fishes. And Jesus went forth, Matthew 14:14, saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion. Every time He saw a multitude, He was moved with compassion toward them. And the Bible says, He healed their sick. And we know the story. It began to be evening, and they had no food. And the disciples said, send them away. We don't have anything for them. But the Lord said, no, we'll take care of the need. And so they didn't have to depart. And they said, and the Lord says, what do we have? Well, we have five loaves, two fish. What's that among all this people? And I put out beside these verses, or up at the top of that, not only does He take care of the healed crowd, but He has compassion on the hungry crowd. Those that had been there all day listening to the Lord teach and preach, and the nightfall was coming, the evening was upon them, and had nothing to eat, and the Lord knew they were hungry, and He told His disciples, said, what can we do? We can't go into the city and buy enough food to feed this crowd. But the Lord had compassion on that multitude that were hungry. I'm glad, thank God, one day as a hungry soul, He had compassion on me as one that had great need in life. And those of us that have been born again, we had that great hunger in our soul to be a child of God. Then there's another time in Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped Him, the Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. The Lord was moved with compassion. This is an illustration the Lord has given. And here I just put above that, the Lord has compassion upon an humble servant. A person that's humble, a person that has humility. Pride has no place in our salvation. Pride has nowhere to find itself, to raise its head, because we have nothing to be proud of. We are nothing but dirt, been saved by grace. And so here we find the Lord had compassion on the humble servant. The servant said, Lord, I worship You. He fell down. He said, if You'll have patience with me, I will pay Thee all that I owe You. And the Lord had compassion on him, and the Bible says here, loosed him and forgave his debt. Thank God we're debt free. We've been born again. We have life eternal. Salvation has been given to us, and our debts have been paid. And then the last time that's found in the gospel is in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Here's a helpless leper. Had no way of help, had no hope, had no way of being able to do anything for himself, but the Lord had compassion on him. Every one of these places show us the compassion that Jesus Christ has on every one of us. We're just like a leper. We can't heal ourselves. A lot of religions try to get you to do that. A lot of religions try to make you feel like you can do that. Salvation is of the grace of God. We have no ability to take care of our leprosy. And leprosy is always a type of sin. It's always a type of ungodliness. And the only one that can heal that, the only one to take care of that, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one to take care of my life, my soul, my eternity, is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus was moved by what he saw. He looked upon them. He saw their need, and he was moved. And the Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah, as he writes these lamentations, lamentation means the weepings of Jeremiah, the sorrow of his heart. He said, "My eye affects my heart." And I tell you what, when we hear the messages of people around the world, missionaries, when we see the videos, when we see the pictures, what our eye sees affects our heart. And then our heart ought to affect what we see and what we do. And so we find that when the Lord saw the crowd, he saw the multitudes, he felt compassion. That word compassion, it just simply means a deep awareness of the suffering of someone else. To be aware that someone is suffering, and to show kindness, and to be aware that they have a great need. And I'm so glad tonight, praise the Lord, he had compassion on me. Had compassion on you as a hell-deserving sinner. I mean, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve the good things of life. We deserve hell. But thank God when he saw me, he was moved with his compassion, and he healed me. He fed me when I was hungry. He took care of all the needs. All those verses, they came together so much this afternoon. It just was amazing how the Lord puts these things together. He takes us as an humble servant, as an humble person. He'll make us a new creature in Christ. He'll forgive our debt. And then he will, as a leper, he'll cleanse us. And it's all because he sees us where we are. He sees us with the need that we have. I noticed in these verses, and especially this one in John chapter 4, and in the different scriptures that we read, especially Mark chapter 9, where he went to the villages and the cities, he saw their condition. They were weak and they were fainting. He understood their carelessness. The Bible says here they'd be like sheep that were scattered, careless, not having any direction. So many people today live a careless life. They have no direction. Have nobody seemingly to show them the way. They have nothing. And so they're just careless in the way they live. Their condition is just like those sheep. They were weak and fainting. He knew their condemnation. Without a shepherd, you don't have anything. Thank God he's my shepherd. The Bible says he's the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He has taken care of us. And he will. And he saw their condition. He saw our condition. He saw my condition as one having no shepherd or no leader, no savior. He saw also the complacency of the disciples. They said, "We don't have time for this. There's not time to go get food. There's not enough money to go get the food to feed this great host of people." And we find out later it's 5,000 men that had gathered there. And so he saw maybe the don't care attitude of the disciples. Sometimes when you read the New Testament, especially when you read in the Gospels, sometimes the disciples were very, very harsh in their way of thinking. Sometimes they were very harsh in their words, and but thank God for the love of the Lord, and He overshadowed, He overtook that. And even seeing what the disciples said in verse 35 of John 4, he said to them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And he goes on, and of course we know the story, how that they fed those and took care. He saw the coming harvest. Harvest is plenteous. Tonight, there's 7 billion souls that are breathing right now on this old planet called Earth. Boy, there's a big harvest. And it's just like it was in his days. It's white, the harvest. No, it's white already. And the white there means it's just about ready to be lost. When a harvest becomes white, when you look over the wheat fields and it's got a white cast to it, it's just about, if it's not gathered shortly, it'll be lost. And I believe as we look into the fields and we look into the world, I believe the harvest is just about to be lost. I think time approaches when there will be no more messages, be no more preaching, be no more pastors, no more ministry. And things will be left to itself, and we know the end of that. So he knew the coming harvest, and he looked at that, and then he saw the color of it is white. He knew there wasn't any time to waste. He says, "Don't you all say there's 4 months to harvest?" And I'm sure maybe the disciples looked at each other and said, "Well, yeah, this is where we are, and 3 or 4 months down the road we'll be harvesting our crops." And the Lord said, "But I say unto you, it's already white." And they knew what He meant. They knew that white meant that ready to be lost. They knew when Jesus used those words, "It's white already," it means it's already time to gather in. And when the Lord looked at the world, He looks at the field, He looks at people, and I believe tonight it's white as snow. The harvest is upon us. What do we see? That's what the Lord saw. Sometimes we don't see the same thing. We don't see the crowds of 7 billion people. We just hear about it. My little mind can't even fathom 7 billion anything, much less people. But yet this world is filled and is continuing to be filled with people. We know the condition. We see their carelessness. And we know that harvest is coming. We preach Jesus is coming. Sometimes we don't do much about it. Sometimes we don't do what we should do to make sure the harvest is brought in. We know time is short. And we have the same problems that the disciples had. Sometimes we're complacent and say, "Well, I'll take care of that tomorrow." No, Jesus said, don't think tomorrow. Don't think down the road. It's ready now. And so I'm glad. Thank the Lord for His compassion on me. Now I need to turn that to others. You know what the difference in what I see and we see than what Jesus sees? I think it comes down to one word. I haven't developed this very much, and you may hear it again someday. The difference in what the Lord sees and what we see in the world comes down to one word: compassion. How much we care. How much we really, really care. I'm glad for Grace Baptist Church, and we try, we work diligently to make sure we send the gospel around the world. And I pray we do it in our own personal life and talking to people and dealing with people. God help us as Christians to see the need and tell them and warn them of the impending doom that is upon them if they do not come to know the Lord. And so tonight, may we take that little word, use 5 times 4 different incidences that is given to us in the New Testament of compassion. And every time the Lord had compassion, something happened. Every time the hungry was fed, the sick was healed, the needs were met, all those things because He had compassion. I pray the Lord help us to do the do the same thing. So if Sharon wakes me up tonight, maybe the Lord will give me something else on it. But I just couldn't get away from that today, and just thinking about those verses and the words that mean so much to the child of God. And we all are recipients of the compassion of the Lord. He loves us. I love Him, but He loves me more. I love Him back because He loved me first. And because He saw where I was, He saw who I was, and He saw where I was going. Praise the Lord. Compassion. Let's stand together tonight.